like to truly say that we truly, really enjoyed the singing. I tell you, it just really uplifted my spirit this morning. Just to see the way the church was singing and the songs, it just, I tell you, just gets you ready for preaching. And I'm just thankful that love lifted me. And I'm glad that, you know, the song, that he made a change in me. I tell you, the Lord has made a change in my life, Brother Jerry. And I tell you, if he's not made a change in your life yet, this morning will be a great time and a great opportunity for you to step out and to come and have a change made into your heart and your life this morning. Because I tell you, he's a great God. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I tell you, he's everything to me. So this morning, are you going to have what I've got? And that'll be it. Because Daniel called me about 10 to after 7 this morning. He said, we're going to have to probably take Stephanie to the hospital. Said, could you fill in for me? And I said, I guess. So I jumped up out of bed. And your brother David, he was kind of getting worried that I wasn't going to be here. And I told him, I said, well, it might have been because of the rain a little bit. But, you know, I had to jump up, and I got in there on the couch, and I began to pray, and I began to study. And this is what God has given us this morning. And David, I thought if I wasn't going to be able to make it, that he was going to be preaching for you this morning. So I don't know. Maybe you might want to hear him maybe tonight. I don't know what things progress tonight. If Daniel will be able to make it back, I don't know. So we'll just play it by ear. But continue to remember them in prayer. And you pray for me. I tell you, I just feel like that this morning. I just feel good in the Lord. I tell you, I just this morning, it's not just because I'm preaching, but it just seemed like the singing just seemed different to me this morning. It uplifted me. And I tell you, today, we as Christians, we need a fire stirred among us that we can get up and begin to do our Father's business. But there's a lot of people that's very discouraged in our lifetime. And you continue to pray as we look over in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. And this is very familiar scripture. Many of us has read this and we've heard it before. And so you just continue to pray as we read here in Genesis chapter 18. And let's look into verse 14. And we find here in verse 14, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But notice the question right here that was asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? And that's our message this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And as I begin to look at this, before we even get into the message this morning, let's look over in Jeremiah chapter 32, and let's look in verse 17 as we continue to pray. As we look here in chapter 32 of Jeremiah, and then let's continue to look in verse 17. And here's the answer to the question that we just asked. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by a great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest love kindness unto thousands, recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. But nothing is too hard for the Lord. But as we look here in Genesis, you can just back up into verse 9, chapter 18. It says that the Lord had came and appeared before Abraham and said, I'm going to give you a son. But notice here, the question was asked, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he began to tell Abraham what was going to happen. Said, I'm going to give you a son. And Sarah began to hear the conversation. And what did she do? She began to laugh just a little bit. She says, I'm well stricken in age. How am I going to bear a son? And so we find that she just could not believe her ears what she had just heard. She said, I am well stricken in age. But notice what the Lord had told him. Says, I'm going to return unto you the time of life, and you shall have this son. And many people, they kind of maybe looked through this and tried to explain what this meant when it says, I'll return unto you the time of life. I don't really know what had happened, but I do know a miracle took place. Some people think that maybe Sarah was turned young again, because in chapter 20, you can just kind of look over a little bit, and it says that Amalek had seen Sarah and had seen Abraham, and what happened? It said that Abraham said, "Tell him that you're my sister," because Amalek looked upon her and said that she was so beautiful and whatever. And so we find that the story goes on that Amalek was going to take her, but the Lord stopped him and said, "She's a married woman." But then she could have just, the Lord could have just opened up her womb and gave her that child. It was a miracle no matter what. But you know, God said that this is going to happen, and there's nothing too hard for the Lord to do. And we find that Isaac was born, and we can find that this was something that had taken place. But there's so many of us today, we get so discouraged, and we are so down and out. And I tell you, I get discouraged myself. I get very discouraged a lot of times, and there's a lot of Christians that get discouraged. But this morning, this message, I hope, will lift you up, and that when you leave this place, that you'll not be discouraged anymore. And I tell you, we find that Elijah, he was a great man of God. He was a great warrior. He was a fighter for the Lord. And he went up on top of Mount Carmel. What happened? He faced the 450 prophets of Baal, and there he stood alone, but he had the Lord on his side. He was about to have victory and revival up on that mountaintop. And we find what happened? We find that here, that he faced these 450 prophets. He said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God," he said, "serve God. But if Baal be God, then you serve him." And so these prophets began to dance around. They were praying to their God. Their God did not answer. They cut themselves. And Elijah just stood there and watched them. But then after it come his turn, he got up, and how that he prepared the altar, and how that he poured water over the sacrifice, and how that he began to pray just a few seconds of a prayer. He said, "God," he said, "you show these people that you are the true and living God, and so that they will know this day that you are the Lord of Lords and King of Kings." And he prayed, and God answered by fire. And so we find that here was a man that had great victory. He won a great victory in his life. But you see, a lot of times in my Christian life, I've had victory in my life. I've been on mountaintops. I've seen people born again into the family of God. I've seen people walk the aisles, and I've seen a lot of things begin to take place. But then there was times that I'd begin to look at my life, and I'd get discouraged, and I'd just sit down. And I'd say, "God, poor pitiful me, I'm discouraged, I'm worried about a lot of things." But I tell you what, that was just like Elijah. After he had that great victory, what did he do? He found out that Jezebel was after him, and he ran, and he went to the desert. He stood under a little old Jupiter tree, and he said, "Lord, she's after me. I just wish that I'd just go ahead and die." You see, he was discouraged. And yet, many times, maybe you're here this morning, and you've had things happen in your life. You've seen victories. You've seen the power of God. He saved you. You're born again into the family of God. But then you got so discouraged that maybe this morning, why do I need to go to God's house? It's easy to get discouraged. Like I said, I myself, as a pastor, as a minister, as a preacher, I get discouraged a lot of times. But then all I do is I get down and I pray, "God, give me that strength." And you see, he was very discouraged. So you're here this morning, you're discouraged. Let's look and see, there's nothing too hard for God to do. He can take care. The Bible said that he is my refuge, and God is our great refuge today. And so it says, underneath us is his everlasting arms. So if you're here this morning and you're discouraged, you continue to look to God this morning. And before you leave this place, I'll guarantee you that according to the word of God, that you can leave here rejoiced, and you can be refreshed and have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing too hard that he can't do. There might be problems in your life, financial problems, sickness. There's times that I said, when Daniel goes on vacation, a lot of times I worry. When he asked me to fill in, I began to worry, if my back goes out, what's going to happen? Because I don't know what to do. And I don't know other preachers that could fill in if I'm filling in. and you know, I have these problems. But I tell you what, there's no problem too hard that God cannot fix. And so you don't have to be discouraged this morning. You can have victory. And I hope and pray that you'll have that victory here this morning. And so we find that there's nothing too hard. And then we find the Bible says that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But then let's look now, as we can see that the question was asked, is anything too hard? And there's nothing too hard. But then let's look over in Genesis chapter 12, and then we find that there's no promise too hard for God to answer. As we look here in Genesis chapter 12, we can find that here that God had made a promise to Abraham. And let's look here in verse 6. He said, and Abraham passed through the land of the place called Sichem unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed I will give this land. And they built an altar upon the Lord who appeared unto him. So as we begin to look here, there's no problem, no promise too hard that God cannot keep. We find that Abraham, he said, Abraham, he says, I'm going to make a promise unto you. And he says, I make this promise. He said, this land is going to be yours. But notice in verse 6, what did he tell Abraham first? He said, there's Canaanites that dwell in this land. And I tell you, if God had told me, he said, now this is going to be your land, it's going to be yours, it's going to be given to you. And the first thing that I seen all them giants in there, I tell you, I'd be afraid. And I'd say, God, are you surely going to give this to me? I'd begin to question God. But Abraham did not question him. He took God at his word. He said, this land where the Canaanites dwell is going to be yours. There's no promise too hard. And as I said a while ago, the Bible says that he promised us that when you get in time in trouble, the Bible says to cast your cares upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. He loves you and I today enough. The Bible says that he promised that he would send his son Jesus to die upon the old rugged cross, that we can have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So maybe you're here today and you just don't know maybe where your next meal is going to come from. You don't know how that you're going to pay your next bill. As I said, I remember back years ago when I first began to start working, I just didn't know what to do. But God said that he promised me that he would take care of me. And I tell you, my wife didn't work. She stayed at home with the children. And there was many times that my wife had done without clothes and so that we could put braces on the children's teeth. And, you know, it cost like $3,000 and stuff like that. But I just kept working. But I tell you, God supplied that need. And we was able to pay those bills. He put food on the table. But like I said, many a time my wife done without so that the children could have things. But how amazing is God? He'll take care of you today. There's nothing too hard, brethren. The Bible says that he will supply our needs. And so whatever I have in my life that I have a need, he's not going to make me a millionaire. Brethren, I may not have the fanciest clothes in the world, but brethren, I tell you, I'm happy today because I know that he loves me. And he loves you. There's nothing too hard. There's no promise too hard that he cannot make, keep. So as we find, and let's just continue to look, as we find here, there was a preacher one time. He began to, you know, God laid it upon his heart to start a church. And this preacher, he didn't have no money. He says, we're just going to start a church in the basement of his house. And so he began to build up, and they went out and advertised, and they got a small group, and it began to grow. And he got up to 60 people into his basement, and he began to think, what am I going to do? I need a church. We need a bigger building. And this preacher, I tell you, he got so excited. And then he began, he found a building that cost at least $40,000. He said, where are we going to get the money? How am I going to be able to buy this building? And so then he began to search the scriptures. And over in Joshua, I know that it's an Old Testament, and it was a promise made to Joshua and the children of Israel. And he said that wherever the sole of your feet touches, he says, I will give you this land. And that was a promise made to Israel and to Joshua. But this preacher, he was just maybe not well educated. But I tell you what, he believed the word of God. And so about 1 o'clock in the morning, what did this preacher do? He went to this building. He took his shoes off, and he knelt down, and he said, God, if it is your will,
for us to have this building. And I know that I'm going to claim this promise that wherever the sole of my feet touches, you're going to give it to me. And I tell you, that preacher took his shoes and socks off, and he began to walk. And he walked all over that land, all over that property. And I tell you what, God heard and answered his prayer, and that church began to grow when they bought that building. But you see, there's no promise too hard that God cannot keep. You look to the Word of God. He promised that he'll take care of his children. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, I had family and friends a lot of times that forsook me. I had family that said, turned their backs, and friends turned their back when I had needs in my life. But I tell you what, God has never turned his back on me. He'll never turn his back on this church. And brethren, he promised this church that if we'll do his will, that there's things going to happen here. So we need to get behind Brother Daniel, and let's claim the promise of God. If you want to see young people born again into the family of God, you want to see this community catch on fire, brethren, I tell you, it's going to take us claiming the promises of God and doing our part if we want to see great things happen. But he promised that this church will be a great church if we'll just rely upon his promise. Don't be discouraged anymore. There's nothing too hard that God cannot do. And you continue to pray as we look at this message this morning. I hope and pray that before you leave here, that you'll be uplifted and you'll be on fire for God. And so as we continue to look, let's look in that there's no prayer too hard for God to answer. Let's look over in John chapter 14 and look in verse 13. And you continue to pray as we look at these scriptures. You know, my wife, she told me, she said, now, you be sure not to get too excited and learn to slow down a little bit. Back young in my younger days when I preached, I used to get out of breath a lot, and she began to worry about me, and I'd have to stop and catch my breath. And so I had to go to the doctor, and they said, well, you got a kind of a bad heart valve. There's no problems with it, but sometimes it makes you short-winded sometimes. And so I guess a lot of people would wish that maybe preachers like me would just shut up, you know, because and maybe that we had finally run out of air. But nevertheless, you know, that's what the problem is. So if I get to kind of stopping a little bit, you just pray for me that God will continue to use me here this morning. But there's no promise, no prayer too hard that God cannot answer. And let's look here in John chapter 14. Let's look in verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's no prayer too hard. Brethren, I tell you, there's people in this community that I've been praying for. There's no prayer too hard that God cannot answer. I've known that there was a lady one time when I was just in an old country church at South Liberty Baptist Church, a place where I announced my call to preach. We find that this lady, she gave her testimony. Her husband was a pretty bad fella. He'd done a lot of bad things, drunk a lot. But she said that at the nighttime, and this guy became a preacher later on. He gave his own testimony. But he said that my wife said would kneel down beside my bedside and she would pray. And he said, I literally just took her and throwed her across the other side of the room. But you see, she remained faithful. She kept praying to God that her husband would be saved and that God would change. And yes, he was a hard case. And he just kept throwing her across the room. But one morning, he got up and he said, I'm going to church with you. And they was driving to church. And then he told her, said, I want you to stop his car. Said, I'm going to get out. But she kept driving to the church. She didn't stop the car. And the church hadn't even started. We was all sitting inside there. And then the church doors open. And I tell you, that guy, you talking about the power of prayer. That guy, he just ran down the altar. He wasn't waiting for an invitation. He wasn't waiting for the preacher said, come and get saved. I tell you, that guy, he ran down and he knelt there in the altar and he got saved that day because
his wife began to pray. And brother, I'm telling you today, this morning, if you want to see souls born again into the family of God, you want to see family members, there's no prayer too hard that God cannot answer. We need to pray this morning. We need to pray without ceasing. We can find that the disciples, they were threatened with their own life. They were threatened that if you go out and you preach, we're going to kill you. We're going to crucify you. We're going to persecute you. But it said they gathered together, and there they began to pray. They didn't say, well, God, we're just going to go to the next city. We're going to leave. But they said that they prayed that God would give them strength, give them power. And it said then they went out and began to continue preaching the word of God. And you say it was through their prayer that gave them the opportunity to go. You might be discouraged because the church, you say, we're not growing. You may be discouraged because there's things happening that you just can't understand. But brethren, you begin to pray, and I guarantee you that you'll understand. You know, I always prayed when God called me to preach. I said, God, I can't do it. But that night I knelt in an old-fashioned altar, and I prayed, and I said, God, if you'll just give me the strength, and you'll just lift me up, and you'll help me, I'll go, and I'll just be the servant that you'll have me to be. And I've told you many a time that this guy right here, I can't drive on the interstate because I get so nervous. And there's a lot of things. You know, I can't even do an MRI. They had to dope me out in the surgery. They laughed at me because I was trying to pull the oxygen mask off my face before I even had surgery. I was so down and out. But when I prayed and I said, God, if you'll help me, I'll do what you'd have me to do. And brethren, that's why that I'm able to stand behind the pulpit today and to proclaim the word of God. It's nothing that I've done, but it's all through the grace of God that I'm able. It's because I prayed and God gave me that strength. He'll give you the strength here this morning. Don't leave this place discouraged. I beg you to come and get, accept his grace and accept his mercy. And this morning that you can come and you can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we'll try to hurry up because, you know, like I said this morning, I jumped out of bed and I tried to study the word that God had gave me. But there's several other things that we can see. And then also through prayer, we find that there's another preacher that claimed this very verse right here, and his church began to grow when it said, "In whatsoever things you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified." Said that that preacher just got down, and he says, "Lord, I ask that you help this church to grow." And I tell you, that church began to grow. That church began to blossom. Why? Because this preacher put his faith in God and he prayed, and God heard and answered prayer. And you know, I remember, and I've shared with you before, but I used to pray that I had a sister and brother that was adopted out that I'd never seen. And I said, God, before the end of time, I would like to meet my brother and sister that I'd never seen and that I'd never met. And I tell you, God worked out a way that I was able to meet my brother and sister. And she was the one that died here just a few years ago. But I got to meet them both. And we got together. And we had a wonderful time. But it was just a miracle in the way that God answered that prayer when I prayed. A woman that didn't even know I had a brother and sister seen this woman in a newspaper and said, "Hey," said, "do you have a brother and sister adopted out?" And I said, "Yes." Said, "There's a girl in the Athens newspaper that looks just exactly like you, looking for her family." God answered prayer. And I tell you, I prayed and I prayed, but God heard and answered that prayer, and I was able to meet them before she passed away. So there's no prayer too hard. And then we find that there's no problem too hard that God cannot solve. And I tell you, a lot of us, we have problems, but if you want to really see the recipe, let's look over in Psalms chapter 35, and then let's look in verses 3 through 5, and you continue to pray, and we'll be ready to close here in just a little while. But there's no problem too hard. We can find that here, that Psalms chapter 37, and like I said, you continue to pray. Psalms chapter 37, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Notice in verse 1, "Fret not." In verse 3, "Trust in God." In verse 4, "Delight thyself in him." And then verse 5, "Commit your ways." There's no problem too hard that God cannot solve.
I tell you, a lot of us, we have problems, but if we'll put our trust and faith and commit our lives to him, then he'll answer and he'll take care of the problems that's in my life. The children of Israel, they had a great problem. They was going into the land, and we find that they had come to the walls of Jericho. It was a very thick wall, 15 feet deep, 30 feet tall. I tell you, how in the world was this army going to come and defeat this great city? There was a problem for them. And so, you know, Joshua was out walking around, and the angel of the Lord came to him and told him, said, this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to go, and I want you to march around that city one time. And I want you to do this for 6 days. Every day you march around it one time. And these was 30 feet tall walls, 15 feet deep, thick. And I tell you, it just seemed impossible. And then could you just imagine the children of Israel being told, said, I just want you to march around, and that's the way that this problem's going to be solved. God said, I'll take care of your problem. And so we find that on the seventh day, says, I want you to march around seven times. And then said, blow your trumpets. And when they marched around seven times on that seventh day, the walls began to tumble down. And I tell you, that problem just disappeared. And I tell you, they had victory that day in Jericho. This was a well-fortified city. And so I tell you, you got problems here this morning. You got problems in your life. Turn them over to God. Now, you don't have to tell me what your problems is. Brethren, I tell you, I've had a lot of problems in my life, but I've turned them over to God, and he's took care of my life. He's given me the strength to go on. So he'll remove those big obstacles out of your way. And I tell you, they had won victory that day simply because they put their trust and faith in God. And that's what we need to do here this morning, put our trust and faith in God. And there's nothing too hard for God to do. And then we find that as we find that there's no place where God cannot send a revival. Let's look at Daniel had been preaching sometimes about revival, and then we find that he even read this scripture over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, and my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We find that there was a great Welsh revival that began to break out. And here, it first of all, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. If we want to see revival in the United States of America, you want to see revival here at this church, then we need to humble ourselves and we need to seek God's face. But the great Welsh revival, people began to get saved, born again into the family of God. There was four things that began to take place. First of all, we find that they condemned sin in their own heart and in their own lives. And you know, it's easy for me to point out people, and I can say, you know, that person says he's a Christian, look how bad they are. But you know, I'm not set up here to be a judge. I need to condemn sin in my own life, my own failures, and not look at everybody else. And so I need to condemn sin in my life. If I want to see revival begin to break out, that's how it starts. And then it says we need to put our trust and faith in God. That's what they done with the great Welsh revival. They begin to put their trust in God. Don't put your trust in the preacher. Don't put your trust in the deacons or anybody else. You put your trust in God, and I tell you, he'll see you through, and we can have a revival. Even in the land of the United States, we see the Supreme Court making all kinds of bad decisions. Government people are doing things against the Word of God. But brethren, I tell you, prayer can change things. Revival can change things. United States of America needs revival today. We need to become a God-fearing nation once again, and we need to put the Word of God back into this nation once again. But then we find that not only do they trust people, but they had burdens for people. They begin to go out and tell people about the Word of God and about the love of God. And so we need to have a burden for this community. Do you want revival? Then you begin to get a burden for somebody. And I tell you, you begin to have a burden. I remember one time leaving church service and how that I left. And I went and began to talk to somebody. Why? Because God had placed a burden upon my heart to go and witness to people. And so I've done a lot of things that God has done simply because I had a burden on my heart. And then we find not only that, but as we continue to look, we find that then they prayed. And so as we look, they just knelt down
and they prayed and said, let us have a revival. And I tell you today, do you want a revival? Do you want to see the power of God begin to move? Then this is a recipe that we can have in our life today. And we need to commit ourselves into the Lord. So let's be the light that God would have us to be. And then as we continue to close here in just a moment, we find that there's no person too hard for God to save. And then we'll be closing. But Mark chapter 2, and we can find that here is very familiar scripture. And we find a man that was sick, but we find that there was four men that had helped him. It says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, no, not much about the door. And he preached the word. And it says, and they come to him bringing one sick a palsy, which was born of four. And when he could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let him down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting up, reasoning in the hearts, why doth this man that speak blasphemy? But we find here in verse 9, it says, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But we find that this man was able to arise there in verse 11, and he began to walk. And we find that, I believe that this is a picture of salvation. We find that here was a man that was hopelessly condemned. He didn't know what to do. He was sick. He couldn't walk. You know, and that's just the way my life was. I was a cripple to sin. My life was literally destroyed by sin. But there was people that loved me enough to share the gospel, just as they four, they carried this man to the house where Jesus was preaching. They said, if I could just get this man to Jesus, this man will be all right. And brother, I tell you, that's a burden that we need to have. If we could just get the lost people to come in and hear the word of God preached, brethren, they're going to be all right, because the Holy Spirit will convict them, and then therefore they'll be saved. But we find that this man was broke, and there was no way to get in. But they wasn't going to let that defeat them. They took the roof off, and they dropped him down. And then he said, thy sins be forgiven. There's no sinner too hard that he cannot be saved. Maybe you're here this morning, you're a young person, and you never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, I've done a lot of mean things in my life. But you see, the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul, and he was on his road to Damascus to persecute, condemn Christians, had many of them put to death. But he met the Lord, and he was struck down with the Lord with blindness. And how that he had said, who art thou, Lord? And he says, you know who that I am. That was the question that he asked. If you want to be saved this morning, and you feel a knock upon your heart's door, it's the Lord. You might ask that question, who is that knocking upon my heart's door? It's the Holy Spirit knocking upon your door. But then he asked another question, what will thou have me to do? And it's just simply this. The Bible says that if you'll just kneel down and you'll confess your sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you'll just believe upon him and you're convicted with the Holy Spirit of God, then you shall be saved. You see, he sent Jesus to die upon the old rugged cross that you can be saved here this morning. And I tell you, there's power in that. So you can be saved here this morning if you've never been saved. And then also you can come, and if you've got a problem in your life and you just want to come and pray about it, I tell you, I tell Christians a lot of times that there's nothing to be ashamed of if you just need to come and you need to have a burden lifted. No greater place than this is just to come to an old-fashioned altar and just kneel down and ask God to give you the strength. But if you're here and you're lost, we're going to pray in just a moment. I'd like everybody just to bow their heads, and we're going to pray. But just very briefly, maybe if you're here this morning and you got a problem and you have a need in your life, and you say, preacher, while you're praying, I want you to pray for me. I just want to say, you, if you would, and you want this prayer to go out to you, just briefly raise up your hand, very briefly. God sees those hands. Are there any more? God sees those hands. And you know, today, God can take care of these problems in your life. He's took care of my life completely. He's blessed me. And maybe if you're here and you're lost and you want to be saved, what a better day. And we're going to pray in just a moment, then you're going to have a time of opportunity to come. And if you can't kneel in the altar, just come and stand. And I'll be willing to pray for you, that the deacons will. But it's time this morning that we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want victory this morning? You come and you do that. But at this time, we're going to go to God in prayer. Father, we're just thankful for this privilege that you've given us this morning. I pray that you'll just take this word and you'll prick the hearts of those that has never been saved. Lord, that they'll come to an altar and say, Lord, I need you. I want to be saved. I want that change in my life that we sung about this morning. And Lord, I pray especially for those that raised their hands that has needs and problems in their life. Lord, that you would strengthen them and help them to realize, as the Word of God said this morning, there's nothing too hard that you can't take care of. Everything you said that you'll not allow no more upon us than we can bear. So, Lord, I pray this morning that people will be willing to stand and, Lord, just say, here am I, Lord, send me. Thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for your many blessings. Be with Daniel and Stephanie once again. We'll be careful to give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's